Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. We'll take your questions, comments, and opinions there as well. Couple of interesting stories to delve into a little bit this week. We're going to get to Adam Cole being finished with the WWE and whether that's a good or a bad thing, and if perhaps there's still a chance. I'm going to be talking about Daniel Bryan, looking like he's going to be making his debut very shortly in AEW. But I want to lead with this story because this is a story that has me perplexed a little bit, and I'm not really sure what to think about it. Although it has been confirmed, I guess. Apparently, Gangrel, David Heath, who's now known as the Vampire Warrior, from the WWE, said on his podcast that AEW was going to bring him in as a part of an angle with Christian to face Kenny Omega prior to SummerSlam in the WWE, and that Christian, using the Brood and referencing the Brood, cost him that opportunity. That AEW, his exact words were, AEW called me up and canceled it, saying we have to go in another direction because of the way the WWE marketed Edge and his feud with Seth Rollins. Now, AEW says we still paid him. We booked him, we paid him, even though he didn't show up. But we felt like we couldn't use that gimmick after WWE had beat us to the punch, so to speak. And Gangrel, David Heath, he doesn't blame Edge. He said Edge was very excited, called me and said, did you see the entrance and everything at SummerSlam? I did it as a tribute to us. We worked so hard for that. And David Heath said, you know, I told him, yeah, I seen it. I was happy and everything, but it did cost me some work, and that Edge was upset about it and said he didn't know. And David Heath said, I didn't know either until very recently it was going to be a problem. I have a problem with this, and I'll tell you why I have a problem with this. I think somebody's lying. And the reason I say that is, how in the hell was AEW going to use a gimmick that is trademarked and copywritten by the WWE? Now, you can say, well, they could bring him as the Vampire Warrior. They didn't copyright that. That's true. But his outfit, copywritten. The entrance, totally copywritten. Even the outfits, totally copywritten. And for me to believe that the AEW was literally going to risk getting sued by having an entrance very similar and referencing WWE copywritten material is very hard for me to believe. Now, I'm not saying that David Heath isn't correct, that they were going to use him. I mean, they could literally bring him in as the Vampire Warrior, not do any of that stuff, dress him differently, and just say there's a connection here between him. They were in a group a long time ago. No reference. But if they're saying, well, the minute that the blood happened, the minute that the black blood came down from the ceiling, that's what ruined it for us because we were going to do something similar. I doubt it. I doubt it. I think Tony Khan is lying. And I'll tell you why I think Tony Khan's lying, because it's an instant lawsuit. Remember when the Big Boss Man just tried to wear a correctional guard uniform in WCW and they sued him? And he had to become the guardian angel? Remember when they told Kevin Nash, you better not wear that leather vest and those chaps, and he had to wear something different, different color? Same thing with Razor Ramon, couldn't wear certain things, couldn't do certain things. You think the WWE was going to let that slide? No way. There's no way. Plus, there was nothing really about Christian's character that would make me think that they were going to try to slide him into a darker gimmick. They got a lot of dark gimmicks on AEW. You going to do another one? So while they may very well have been bringing in David Heath to do something, I don't think it was to emulate the Brood. Because it's illogical. And on top of illogical, it would have instantaneously resulted in the WWE filing a lawsuit. All of that's copywritten. The WWE copyrights things right down to a T. This is a group that's trying to copyright your actual real name. Do you think they haven't copywritten the exact look, the exact everything, right down to the nth degree of the Brood, and that if Tony Khan had referenced the Brood in any way or emulated their entrance or anything, that there wouldn't have been hell to pay? I don't buy that. I don't know what they told David Heath, but likely what they were going to do is, one of two things happened. Either Tony Khan really did want to do this and was advised by his attorneys, you will be sued. And it had nothing really to do with Edge using that gimmick. Or they were going to use him in a very, very different way, maybe just slightly making reference to a connection they had in a previous group, but not doing the blood and the entrance and the fire and all that kind of stuff. And they decided against it because it would look like, oh, my God, we're copying exactly what the WWE did the other night, referencing the Brood. Now, if that was the case, Tony Khan should have went right on with it, because Christian was every bit as part of that as Edge was. So if David Heath is over there, you could reference it. Christian himself is a part of the Brood. You didn't cancel him. So you still could have brought David Heath in. So I'm not sure where the truth and the myth of this story is. But I think someone's either under a huge misunderstanding or someone lied to someone, because I do not buy that AEW was going to use a Brood gimmick for this Kenny Omega match, Mike, because the second they did, they'd have found themselves in court.
I agree with you. And look, just think of it this way. People need to just think of it this way. How long did it take for Cody Rhodes to be able to call himself Cody Rhodes?
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
That only happened just recently, within the last, month and a half, 2 months, maybe 2.5 months. That just happened that late. And that the Rhodes, and what was the reason why they say, well, you can't call yourself Cody Rhodes? Well, it was because, well, your dad made his name away from us, but we made the Cody Rhodes name the Cody Rhodes name. You know,
right?
That was the reason they gave, which was actually a good reason. You know, now they ended up giving up on it, did the WWE, I guess, and letting him have that name. You know, but again, this is the WWE we're talking about. They're trademarking everything. They're even trying to trademark, like you said, people's real names.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Mike, because I want to clear something up. I got into a debate with some people. Chelsea Green was supposedly being told she can't use her real name. They dropped that since that. But people were saying you can't copyright someone's real name. It's not possible, even if they agree to it in a contract. How do you do that? And there are even people who claim to have, legal knowledge saying, no, 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 you're wrong. You can't do it. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. See, here's the way they do it, folks. They don't say it's copywritten. They say it's trademarked. In other words, you got Mrs. Fields cookies, right? Or Famous Amos cookies. Try to make Mrs. Fields potato chips and see how quick you get sued. You can't do it. Your name can be Paul Newman. You can't put out spaghetti sauce. But my real name is Paul Newman. And too bad. See, this is the problem. So the WWE, they don't try to really what they call copyright it. They trademark it. Trademarking it means for this specific purpose, we have created a brand under that name, and we feel we still have some legal binding reason to have that name. For instance, maybe they have a game out coming out that has her in it, right? Or they have some merchandise or whatever. You can do it. You can do it. So hopefully that puts that to bed. You can't copyright somebody's name and say you can never use your name again. If you try to put your name down on a contract to buy a house, I'm suing you. You can't do that. But you can trademark it for exactly what your business is. Let's say your real name happens to be, I don't know, Justin Bieber. You think you can put out a music album? Even if you can present your birth certificate that says, my name is Justin Bieber. They're going to say, yeah, that's too bad. You're not putting a music album out under Justin Bieber. We've trademarked it. Corporations do it all the time. All the time. You know how many people's names are the same? What are we supposed to do? My real name is Willie Nelson. So I'm just going to go out and learn how to play the guitar, and I'm going to book myself as Willie Nelson is playing here tonight. You're not going to be able to do it. Period. So hopefully that clears that up. But Todd, listen, as far as this Brood thing is concerned, I don't believe that AEW ever had any intentions of using anything close to the entrance or the connection.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with using the Brood entrance and everything, I think, like you said, I think Tony Khan didn't want to use it. Just wanted to be on the safe side of that. He just didn't want to get sued by Vince and other WWE.
But David Heath was lousy, saying, oh, well, after the blood incident and the fire entrance, we had all that set. I don't believe that. Because if Christian had rose up from a fire on stage and walked out of there with a white ruffled poet shirt, they're in court the next day. I'm telling you. They're in court the next day saying you stole our intellectual property. Period. So I don't believe Tony Khan was going to do that. Or if he did think of it, somebody told him, you better think again. Anyway, supposedly it cost David Heath an appearance on television, AEW television, which is unfortunate if it did. But it's still Tony Khan's fault because he could have had David Heath show up anyway. Just don't use that. And for people saying, well, what's the big deal? He got paid. Well, the big deal is if he's on AEW television for a couple of nights, which they said it was going to be like a 2 or 3 night thing, taped, you know, his appearance price goes up for indie shows. His merchandise probably sells a little more. He's Googled a little bit more. There are people who maybe don't know about him, who learns about him. And so, yeah, there's some financial ramifications to that. Either way, listen, I'll tell you the truth. I've met David Heath. Great, great, great guy. One of the nicer people I've met in the business. And I'm very sorry that he lost that opportunity. But again, and he's not blaming Edge. Believe me, he's not. He said in his thing, I know he was trying to pay tribute to us, and I appreciate it and everything. It's just really bad timing. But don't let Tony Khan tell you it was really bad timing, because there's no way Tony Khan was going to use that. There's just no way. Anyway, let's get on to the big Adam Cole situation. Apparently nobody knows when Adam Cole's contract is up. Not the WWE, not Adam Cole, not the dirt sheets. Nobody does. Oh, well, Adam Cole's contract was up a week ago and he signed an extension. And, oh, to do this last match. And, oh, well, still not up. And maybe it's up. Maybe it's been up. Nobody knows. The answer is it was over yesterday, as far as I know, or today. I'm not really sure because nobody's sure. But from what I'm hearing, as of today, at least, Adam Cole is free to go wherever he wants, and his contract expired. He has no compete clause, which means he could waltz on to tonight's show, I guess, unless it runs through tonight, unless the contract runs through tonight. Now here's the situation with Adam Cole. If you're a fan of his, you have to ask yourself, where is Adam Cole going to be best served? Well, I know a lot of people say, oh, WWE is where the, you know, most eyes are, and I watch a lot of WWE. I'd like to see him stay there. He really did a great job at NXT, and he could take all that momentum to the main roster. I'm not so sure about that. Vince McMahon has very clearly stated he wants to move in the direction of larger men. Adam Cole is very, very small. Adam Cole is very small by just regular standards, let alone wrestling standards. And I just think that all these promises that he makes, oh, we're going to have a team of writers writing for you and we're going to have really good stuff. Yeah, that might last a month, maybe 2 months, maybe a little bit with a minor belt. But in the end, Vince McMahon is going to say, yeah, you know, this isn't really working. I'm looking at him in the ring with Drew McIntyre or Bobby Lashley or somebody big, and he looks like a little kid, and, you know, forget it. And he's going to change his mind, because that's what Vince does. He's going to change his mind on Adam Cole, and then what you're going to see is Adam Cole being a mid-carder. Is that what you want? Now, secondly, even if he does allow Adam Cole to excel and achieve some things in the first few months, it's going to be under the format of 4 or 5 minute matches. You know, 6 or 8 tops. That's not what Adam Cole's good at. That's not why fans like Adam Cole. I never wanted to see him come up to the main roster because I knew that even if they said, oh, no, we know his popularity. We know we're shooting him to the moon. Yeah, but you're still not going to see the Adam Cole you want to see. You're going to see the watered-down version of Adam Cole who does 6-minute matches and 4 moves. Don't believe me? What's Keith Lee doing? Remember all those great matches in NXT? Do you see any of that out of Keith Lee? You don't. Did you see any of that out of Aleister Black? No, you didn't. So Adam Cole would probably be a victim of that. And if you're a fan of his, I guess you wouldn't want to see that. Now let's talk about AEW, though. Adam Cole going to AEW at a time when they just got Aleister Black, Malakai Black, whatever you want to call him, while they just got him, CM Punk has taken the wind out of the room. Nobody else has any headline now because CM Punk showed up and said, I guess wrestling isn't stupid again because I need money. Daniel Bryan's over there, going to be over there any minute. You're not going to be that big deal that you could have been if those guys didn't get signed. In other words, there's only so much TV time and there's only so much room at the top. And the room at the top, we know who's getting the room at the top. And I don't know if they would use Adam Cole correctly. I mean, I'm looking at some guys on the AEW roster and saying, I don't remember the last time I saw him wrestle. Really good guys that I was hoping, oh, they're going over to AEW. I'd like to see. I'd like to see some of their matches. I don't recall the last time they've wrestled. So there is a danger that Adam Cole, who could have been the number one guy in AEW, would now be like the number 4 or 5. And I'm not sure that's what you want to see. Now, I don't know if Impact can give him the money he wants. But if they could, I firmly believe that Impact would probably use him best. They could use a guy with a lot of personality, and we're going to get to another guy they might be getting in a minute or two. But I don't know if the money's going to be there. So where does Adam Cole go from here, Mike? I mean, what is his best choice? If you're an Adam Cole fan, what is the best you can hope for?
I don't know. I mean, I once thought, well, one, his girlfriend's over there, right?
Yep.
Britt Baker's there, so, you know, I mean, that was my thing. That his girlfriend was over there. If he leaves, he's going to go there. But again, like you said, they've got enough of those type of guys there that I'm not sure he's going to go there. Now, granted, his girlfriend, Britt Baker's doing really, really well there, and I still have a good feeling that AJ Lee is going to be AEW bound at some point, but that's neither here nor there right now. But, if anyone's going to sign him, it is going to be Impact, because I don't see him going back to Ring of Honor. And I don't know if what's his name and with the NWA can afford him, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't even know if Impact can afford him. See, that's the thing. That's the thing. If I were a huge Adam Cole fan, I would root for him to stay in NXT, because I think that's where he's going to get the opportunity to do exactly what the fans like to see him do. AEW is really crowded right now, you know? It reminds me of like having a festival, a music festival, and you're like, oh, my band should be top billed. And then all of a sudden you say, oh, wow, they got this band on the card? Well, I guess I'm second billed. Oh, they got this band on the card? I guess I'm third billed. And pretty soon you're like, well, I guess I'm opening. See, that's where the problem is with AEW. They've signed so many high-profile people, it's going to be very hard now to niche out. You're one of the top guys. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see where Adam Cole ends up. Now, logically, yes, his girlfriend's over there, fiance, whatever she is. But I'm going to go to Todd and find out what you think, and then I'm going to give you an interesting piece of information. Todd, where do you think Adam Cole is best suited?
My opinion, I got to go with you on this one, NXT.
I think if you're an Adam Cole fan, that's your best bet. Now, let me give you an interesting piece of information. It was probably about 6 months ago that rumors had circulated that Shinsuke Nakamura is very unhappy with the WWE. He didn't feel he was able to use his skills. He felt like he was a legend in Japan, but up here he was kind of just a mid-carder, and he wasn't really super happy, and he felt his legacy was being ruined and all of this. And I said, well, listen, let's let the man say it himself. Let's just not us speculate, because I haven't heard anything from Shinsuke Nakamura's mouth that he's unhappy. Well, guess what? He's not unhappy. I hear he re-signed a deal and told people, look, this is where I'm best suited, and here's why. I can make a huge amount of money and probably lengthen my career by years because I don't have to bust my ass like I was in Japan. Those matches take a huge toll. All of those matches take a huge toll. The matches Shinsuke Nakamura is doing right now do not take a huge toll. So Nakamura made a calculated decision that, look, I don't have to be the top guy. I'm making really, really, really good money. I'm not busting my ass or risking my neck too much. My matches are pretty low brow, so, you know, I can do this for a longer period of time. And this is the best way for me to financially set myself up for life. You see, that's what you got to understand. A lot of wrestling fans don't get that. A lot of wrestling fans don't get that this is a business. There's nothing really to win. See, like, if you're a ball player, you're like, I want to go to a team where I can, maybe I can win the big prize. I can win the Super Bowl. I can win the World Series. I can win the Stanley Cup. I want to go to a team that, you know, I can really excel, and I don't care if I have to kill myself to get there. Wrestling's not like that. UFC is like that. I'll fight anybody. I don't care. I'll put my body on the line, and if I it cripples me, I'm going to try to get to the top. Wrestling's calculated. Wrestling, you can say, well, where can I make the most money for the longest period of time and really do the least and not have my body all crippled up at 60 and not have to walk with a cane at, you know, 65 years old? And Shinsuke Nakamura has decided that's the WWE. Adam Cole may very well decide that. Adam Cole may very well say, well, look, I mean, if I keep doing 25-minute NXT matches like I'm doing with my size especially, because I don't have a lot of padding, like a Mick Foley. If I keep doing this, by the time I'm 50, I'm going to be walking with a crutch. If I go up to the WWE and do three-minute matches and just do my shtick, I could do this forever. And every year is more cha-ching in the bank. He could do that. You see, I don't know where his priorities lie. The younger guys tend to want to be, I want to do all the outrageous stuff. I want to show everything. You know, I want to show how great I am. I want to do 25-minute Ironman matches and do all my offense. And then as you get a little older, you're like, you know what? I want to do the least amount of work for the most amount of money. So I thought that was interesting, Mike, that Shinsuke Nakamura came out and said he's extraordinarily happy with the WWE, and he enjoys being a part of this company.
Right, and heck, if they can get him to bring along a guy, I mean, yeah, he's the champion, and at some point he's going to have to defend that championship, but this Rick Boogs, and we'll get around to this, but this Rick Boogs guy looked pretty good in his first match last week, all right? And he had a pretty good spot when he did the abdominal stretch like he was playing a guitar, but if he can do these matches and they can have him introduce a guy like that and that guy continues to get better, heck, I take that in a given day, and that's the thing. And as far as trademarking things, just think of it this way, people. Remember when, before she came back, Charlotte Flair had went off and trademarked some names, including, instead of Charlotte, she would call herself Ashley Flair. She trademarked yes. the name Ashley Flair. But that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, no question. Now, Derek saying what in the chat room is saying, what's wrong with the crowded roster? You had Austin, you had The Undertaker, you had The Rock and Triple H. What's wrong with that? It's not the same thing, Derek. It's apples and oranges. They were all established. They were all established. What happens if you had The Rock and Austin and The Undertaker and Triple H and you said, we're also going to get Sting and Ric Flair and we're going to get every single guy in WCW, and eventually someone has to go down to the mid card because you only have so much room at the top. Everyone can't be the top guy. Now, you may have room at the top for six guys, eight guys. Let's say you have room at the top for eight guys and you hire five more top guys. What's going to happen to those? What's going to happen? Logically, what is going to happen? Right now, AEW has a ton of quote-unquote top guys. And every single guy you mentioned, Derek, in the chat room was an established superstar in their late 30s. I thought AEW was bringing up new talent. They were building their own talent. Where are those guys going to go? If your top roster is filled with nothing but other people's superstars, where's your undercard guys going to go? Where's your future going to go? Right now, they're literally saying our top guys are Moxley, WWE, Jericho, WWE. Malakai Black, WWE. CM Punk, WWE. Daniel Bryan, when he comes in, WWE. Sting, WCW, WWE. Matt Hardy, WWE. Jake Hager, WWE. Now you're going to get Adam Cole, WWE. Where's your guys? Where are these guys going to go? Somebody's got to find a position. If you talk to any wrestler, they will say the politics backstage is terrible. Everybody's fighting for a spot. Everybody's fighting for a spot. Well, if you have no leverage, if you're a Jungle Boy or you're a, you know, Sammy Guevara or something, you're fighting for a spot. And you just hear, well, they're going to sign Daniel Bryan. Oh, God. They've signed CM Punk. Oh, my God. They're going to sign Adam Cole. Oh, my God. And you're just going down the list saying, well, I don't know. Where am I going to fit in at this point? Where's my chance? How do I survive? And I know a lot of people saying, well, CM Punk's giving Darby Allin a big rub. You think he's going to give him a big rub? I don't think he's going to give him a big rub. He's going to come in and say, I haven't wrestled a match in 7 years, and I beat Darby Allin. So how good is Darby Allin? A guy who's been retired for 7 years and is in his 40s beat you. Nice try, kid. Your time will come. I'm sure he'll give him plenty of offense, but, you know, at some point we have to understand that Tony Khan can't be what Vince McMahon used to be, and that was just a talent collector. Remember when Vince McMahon was buying everybody and you're like, well, where are these guys going to go? Remember all those great talents he bought and we said we didn't even see them? They're being paid to sit in the back. We don't even see them. Okay, well, AEW has less television time than WWE. So if you're booking the show and you're saying we got 2 hours, we got to get the following people in. CM Punk, he's got to talk for 18 minutes. Daniel Bryan, we got to get him in. Malakai Black, we got to get him in. Jericho's got to come out and do some stuff. John Moxley's got to come out and do some stuff. We got to get in the Young Bucks. We got to get in this. Well, okay. Well, then I guess if you're one of these other guys, you're like, I don't know. There's just no room for me on the show. That's the problem. So if you think that Adam Cole going over to AEW is going to take no one's time and no one's spot, well, how do you book the show then? I mean, right now you're booking the show. Now you have to add another guy to the show. So how are you going to keep doing that? There is such a thing as having too big a roster where you just say, I can't book all these guys. Somebody's got to be at the top. And we've only got 2 hours worth of TV time, and out of a two-hour show, let's face it, with commercials and stuff, you're lucky you get an hour and a half. So if you get an hour and a half's worth of TV time out of 2 hours, that's, you know, and you want to do matches that are 10, 12, 14 minutes, you don't have a lot of time. This is why we saw the WWE go to 3 and 4 minute matches, because they said, well, we have so many people and we have to promote them. We're paying them. So you got 4 minutes. Get out there and do what you do in 4 minutes. Do you want AEW to go to that format? Go out and do 4 minutes. Hey, Daniel, can you do a 2.5-minute match? Because we got to slide in Sammy Guevara. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They're going to go with the hot hands. They're going to say, well, these are the guys who are drawing. These are the guys who are selling merch. These are the guys who are putting butts in seats. And these are the guys we're going to run with. Yes, we'll still, you know, promote some of our talent, our younger talent. Of course we will. But some of these marginal guys, for instance, the Revival's gone from what I hear. Remember the Revival saying there was no room for us in WWE? We felt like we were cast out. Over here, we will be treated differently. I hear they're gone. So now what? See, that's where the problem lies. Then you got to get into the women's matches. So at some point, yeah, it becomes an overcrowded field, Mike, and it makes it very difficult.
Right. And look, look, even the boss himself was WWE, Cody Rhodes, you know. So you got that going on. I mean, what's going to happen to, I mean, yeah, they're promoting MJF now, but what happens to him? What happens to Jack Perry? What happens to Orange Cassidy, you know? Those three guys come to mind right away. I mean, that he's both MJF is, but Cassidy and Perry have been coming up, have been rising, you know. Right. And so, what's going to happen to those guys?
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, we can match for match. You say, okay, Triple H, and I say, okay, Jericho, Stone Cold, okay, Punk, The Rock, okay. You know, we can go one for one, right? You got four or five guys at your top right now. You've got your established four or five guys. Daniel Bryan is coming in. He's going to be a top guy. So you've got your four or five or six or maybe even eight established top guys, right? And then you're going to hire another top guy. See, that's what the problem was. If the WWE hadn't had so many people, when Aleister Black came to the main roster, they would have said, well, we have to use him. I mean, we don't have a lot of guys, and we got to fill our roster up, and he's fresh and new. We got to run with him. That's what the WWE used to do. They'd use up a guy until they said, well, he's not so popular anymore. He's not really selling merch. He's not really putting butts in seats. Let's hire another guy, shoot a few vignettes. We'll work this guy down the roster. We'll put this guy up in the roster. Eventually, maybe the guy we cycled down will be fresh again, and we'll put him back up. But now things have changed, and they're just like, no, you're done? Throw him out. Next guy. We're not worried about cycling anybody. This is where the problem is. So when Aleister Black comes up to the main roster and they say, well, we got to promote Bobby Lashley, we got to promote this guy and that guy and this person, that all of a sudden they take a look at an Aleister Black and say, well, do we really need to promote him? I mean, we got so many people to promote. Where's he going to fit in? How many times have you heard the phrase, creative has nothing for you? Meaning that we have so many stories going, we can't fit you in. Now, would they do that to Adam Cole? No. He's going to go and be utilized heavily on top. But somebody's taking the fall for it. There's only so much room in the pool before somebody's got to get their ass out of the pool, or you can't swim. You know what I'm saying? Eventually, the pool becomes so crowded, you say, well, there's no point in being in here because I cannot swim. And then you got to get four or five people out of the pool. So we'll see. Now let's talk a little bit about Daniel Bryan, because I think it's going to be the exact opposite of what CM Punk is going to bring. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I think that CM Punk has always been a guy who pretends he's going to help talent. Oh, I'm helping Darby Allin by targeting him first. Yeah, you're not going to lose to him, and you shouldn't lose to him, but I'm just saying, that's not helping him. Just because you say, oh, I think he's great, that doesn't help. CM Punk is going to be about, how soon do I get the belt on my waist? How soon do I get my face in the dead center of the poster? I don't care if Sammy Guevara and Orange Cassidy has to sit at catering. I got 9 minutes of interview time, and I'm going to take 14. Because that's what CM Punk does. Don't believe me? That's the WWE locker room. That's what CM Punk does. R-Truth went nuts on him. I don't know if you heard their Twitter war. I don't know if CM Punk has actually responded, but R-Truth basically put the smackdown on CM Punk. And there's a lot of guys who aren't too fond of him because they said that. He pushes himself above everyone else. His attitude is, I'm here, get the F out of my way. I'm the king, you're the peasant, don't bother me. It's not going to change. Now ask the people about Daniel Bryan. And you'll find guys who say, Daniel Bryan literally came up with an idea for me and pitched it to creative saying, you're not being used and you're really good. Maybe we can do this. And because I'm Daniel Bryan and they want to kind of try to keep me happy, they'll probably listen to me. They ain't going to listen to you, but they might listen to me. And so I'll go to Vince and say, hey, Vince, can we do this gimmick with this guy? And he might say, okay, if you want to. It's happened many times. And Daniel Bryan is more than willing to lose to young, fresh talent. He knows this business. See, there's two different types of people in this business. There are these type of people like, unfortunately, I know people love Hulk Hogan, but Hulk Hogan was one of those guys. How much money can I soak out of it? Don't make me look bad. And if anybody comes and tries to take my spot, they better be squashed or I'm walking. Okay, well, you, name me the person that Hulk Hogan put over in this business as a big star, a young guy. Name me a young guy Hulk Hogan put over in this business. I don't know of any. It's the same way with CM Punk. They're in it for, it's my fame, this is my world, if you want to be a part of it, get in line behind me. Daniel Bryan is more of an old school wrestler who says, I paid my dues, I achieved a level of success, and now it's time for me to give back to that and get the next generation ready to go. He's just that way. So, yeah, he's going to be a much bigger asset. Much bigger asset. I don't know, Todd. I mean, again, there's only so much room in the pool, right? And eventually somebody's got to get out if you're going to swim.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with some of these guys won't refuse to put younger talent over. For instance, like you said with CM Punk, he's in it for himself from the get-go. He's not in it to put anybody over. He's not a team player. And well, like you said, when R-Truth went off on him, I don't blame him for going off on CM Punk.
Yeah, now Derek is saying, well, you know, Hogan put over Goldberg. Yeah, Goldberg is such a wonderful, enduring talent. That's not the same thing. It's not the same thing at all. Hogan put over The Undertaker, too, at some point. But, you know, at least The Undertaker had some longevity and stuff. Goldberg was one of those things where everybody was getting a piece of the pie. I'm talking about an actual wrestler who was an up-and-comer in the business. Goldberg paid no dues. Goldberg was a carnival act. Goldberg was, you look good, no one's beating you, we're going to send you on this huge win streak because it's going to put money in our pockets. You're paying no dues. You don't have to know a thing about the business. You don't even have to know how to wrestle. So that's not quite the same. I'm talking about a guy like Sammy Guevara. I'm talking about a guy like Darby Allin. I'm talking about a guy like MJF. Did you just see Chris Jericho put MJF over? Now, I want you to ask yourself the following question, and I don't care if you're a CM Punk fan. How many times you see CM Punk tap out? You think CM Punk's a better wrestler overall than Chris Jericho? You think he has a more storied career than Chris Jericho? Chris Jericho tapped out. Think CM Punk's going to tap out to Darby Allin or MJF? I'd love to be in that dressing room when you propose it to him. Yeah, we're really pushing MJF, so we're going to have this big feud, and it's going to end up with you tapping out, and he's going to say, yeah, fuck you. That's not what's going to happen. He's going to give me all of his finishers. I'm going to survive them, and I'll beat him with my go to sleep. Or I'll walk. And your federation will have to explain to all these fans why CM Punk is not on the card because I am the talent. That's what's going to happen. Now there's people saying, well, maybe he's softened with age. Man, yeah. Look, I hope so. But you know what the last thing is to soften with age? Ego. As a matter of fact, sometimes it becomes worse. Because, see, here's the thing. Daniel Bryan achieved everything he needed to achieve. He doesn't have anything left to prove. So now he says, well, regardless if I lose or win, it really doesn't matter. I've proven everything I need to prove. CM Punk doesn't feel that way. CM Punk was humiliated and embarrassed by his, I could waltz into UFC and take on the top guys and have a great chance of winning, and then he couldn't beat anybody. He couldn't beat some guy with a zero record. And he became a laughingstock, and people said, oh, you know, Joe Rogan, he doesn't belong in this sport. He has no idea what he's doing out there. He's not a legitimate tough guy. He's not a good fighter. And he's just, you know, they're using his name. Dana White's using his name, but I'm watching him in the ring. He doesn't belong here. He doesn't belong in the octagon. He doesn't know what he's doing. So he was humiliated. Dana White told him, hey, man, hit the road. You don't belong here, name or not. You're going to get yourself hurt, kid. Well, that's okay. I'll go be a famous actor. That didn't work. So, see, the thing is, now he's been humiliated a few times. He's like, I'll be damned if I'm going back to wrestling and start to lose. I'm going to build back my legacy. So he's not going to be dropping matches, folks. He's not going to be putting young talent over. And he's going to disguise it by saying, well, me wrestling them is putting them over. Doesn't matter if I win. They're getting a rub just being in the ring with me. Okay. Whatever. You're never going to convince CM Punk fans any different. But all I'm going to tell you is watch Daniel Bryan. I'm not going to say he's losing his debut, and I'm not going to say he's even going to lose the majority of his matches. But Daniel Bryan will keep his eye on young talent, and when Daniel Bryan sees something he likes, Daniel Bryan will say, let's push that guy. There's got to be a reason when someone is not popular in the dressing room. There's got to be a reason. And I haven't heard anybody say anything good about CM Punk. Two guys who never say anything bad about anyone is AJ Styles and Kevin Owens. If you ask them, you know, what do you think of Satan? They would say, well, you know, maybe he was misunderstood. It's not my cup of tea, but, you know, some people seem to like him. And that's their nature. Kevin Owens basically said, look, CM Punk has no sense of humor, trying to tell me how to wrestle, trying to tell me what I should do, and when I try to crack a joke back with him, he gets all mad and bug-eyed at me like he's going to fight me. And AJ Styles just says, well, I mean, he's all right, I guess. He's okay. Ask AJ Styles about anybody, I'd be like, oh, he's fantastic. Love their work. Amazing talent. Doesn't matter. Ask him what he thinks are almost amazing talent. Going to have the world by the ass in a few years. He has nothing. He'll just say, he automatically goes to everything good. So when you hear him say about CM Punk, well, you know, he's accomplished a lot. That's his way of saying he's a dick. When's the last time you heard Ron Killings say anything bad about somebody? How come all these guys don't like him? You hear him saying that about Daniel Bryan? You hear him saying that about Chris Jericho? Why? It's not true. That's why. It's not true. Anyway, folks, what are we going to see tonight? Well, listen. We may see the debut with Daniel Bryan. I don't know. I don't know if Daniel Bryan's ready to go. I don't know. CM Punk hinted it, didn't he? But he said you might have to be a little more patient. So maybe it's going to be a little more time. I think tonight SmackDown really has to step up. I know that. I've not been happy with SmackDown for weeks and weeks and weeks. So they're really going to have to step to the plate. I'm not really sure what we're going to see. I certainly hope we're going to see a little bit of Brock Lesnar and where he's going to fit in. because I don't think it's a given that he's challenging Roman Reigns. It seems like that's the way they're going to go, and they're going to do it in Saudi Arabia. I know. That's what it seems like. But they could swerve us. They could swerve us and have Brock Lesnar say, no, I'm not after his belt. I know that's Paul's guy. I'm not going to try to take Paul's meal ticket away. Paul's a friend of mine. I just came in to, you know, acknowledge him and let him know that if the time comes. But in the meantime, there's other belts to take and there's other, you know, brands. I think that could be a possibility. Now, as far as the Becky Lynch situation is concerned, this is what I heard. Becky Lynch went to Vince McMahon and wanted to be a heel. Wanted to be a heel. Vince McMahon agreed. She was never supposed to win the belt that night at SummerSlam. That was a last-minute decision. It was a very poor decision, an extremely poor decision, and it didn't get her the kind of heat that you want if you're a heel, in my opinion, because the fans were still cheering her when she won. We got a problem here. So unless Becky Lynch can come out, and I don't know how she's going to manage it. What's she supposed to do, come out and yell at the fans and say, well, what? There's nothing really to say. So I don't know how this is going to work or if it's going to work. But she's going to have to do a lot more than just slap Bianca Belair and put her in one move. There's going to have to be some kind of rationale to why she is a heel. And I don't know what that rationale could possibly be because no one has done anything to her. So if Becky Lynch came to me and said, I want to be a heel, I'll be like, well, give it some time then, Becky. Give us 3 months, 2 months, and we'll turn you heel. You can't turn you heel now because no one's done anything to you. You have no motivation for coming back. I just had a baby. I'm finally back into the wrestling, my wrestling shape, and I'm going to be a heel despite the fact that all the fans loved me when I left. That doesn't make sense. Let's write a storyline for you that makes a little bit of sense to why you might be a heel. Maybe we can involve Seth Rollins in it. That would make more sense to me, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said, with Becky Lynch and everything, have her come back as a... She should have come back as a heel. She should have came back as a face and try to involve Seth Rollins with his feud with Edge and probably bring Beth Phoenix into the mix as well.
Yeah, there's things. We'll see what ends up happening. We'll see what ends up happening. SmackDown's got to step up. Now, tonight, again, you know, AEW, they're going to get the rub from just the whole CM Punk thing and people anticipating maybe Daniel Bryan's going to show up. So they're going to get good ratings again. But I do think it's interesting that Roman Reigns had put out a statement saying that SummerSlam was the number one pay-per-view, the most watched pay-per-view, and that's really the needle moving as opposed to CM Punk moving the needle. And then fans are getting all over Roman Reigns, who's playing with him, by the way. He's marking you out, but he does have a point. He does have a point. Yeah, the ratings went up to 1.3 from 1.1. That's not a huge needle move, and that's for the debut. What happens when people get used to seeing them on there, and it's not a big deal anymore? Oh, this is the moment. There were grown men crying over CM Punk coming back. Oh, that's how big a moment it was. So naturally, you're tuning in. You going to tune in 2 months from now because CM Punk's on? Are you just going to say, well, yeah, he's back. Yeah, okay, the thrill's worn off. See, that's what you have to figure out with CM Punk. Anybody can be a needle mover for one night. I guarantee you that if the WWE said, guess what's happening? Stone Cold Steve Austin is coming back for one more match on SmackDown tonight, and it's going to be against Roman Reigns for the belt. Needle mover. People be like, holy shit, Stone Cold's back. Got to watch that. That's going to be awesome. Can't wait to see that. But if he stuck around, people are going to be like, oh, okay. I can see him anytime. So that's not the test. The test is going to be a couple months from now. See if that 1.3 stays. Let's see what happens tonight even. But I will say this. When you start adding names like Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, Aleister Black, When you start adding names like that, it's giving you some credibility. It's giving you some reason to – and there's some people saying Bray Wyatt. But here's what I heard about the Bray Wyatt situation. I heard that Bray Wyatt is much more likely to sign with Impact. I don't know why. Now, maybe Bray Wyatt has made a calculated decision. I'm going to get lost in the shuffle of AEW signing everybody. Maybe that's what he feels. If so, he's probably pretty smart because I think that would be true. But if you add names like that, even if it's at the cost of your younger talent being built up, you're going to get people watching because there's big names on that show. It's just like going to an indie event. Your promoter may say, well, here's my three or four or five guys I always use, but they're not big names. And if I put this guy on the card and this guy on the card and this guy on the card, I'm going to sell tickets. So I'm putting them on the front and center of the poster. You've seen that. You scroll around and you watch, indie cards come up, and it'll be like, here's our guys you never heard of, and then front and center, Tatanka! Well, how big a name is Tatanka? He's 50. But they know he's going to sell more seats than those guys. So, see, that's the thing. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there. See if the needle moves consistently. I think it will to an extent. I think that you're going to see a steady over 1 million or just at 1 million for AEW for an extended period of time, probably through the whole fall area. Then I don't know. AEW keeps moving the needle by saying, we're going to sign another big name. At some point, people are going to say, how many big names are you going to sign? If that's the only way you can move the needle, that's not good enough. You've got to be able to move the needle with the guys you got. It can't be, uh-oh, we're sliding in the ratings, sign another big guy. Oh, that helped for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we're sliding in the ratings again, sign another big guy. At some point, you run out of guys to sign. So we'll see. I do think AEW's crossed the threshold, however. I think they're going to probably stay in the 1 million mark and above, which is a big victory for them. And they did it with big names, and I'm sure they gave those big names big. So anyway, we'll be back on Sunday to discuss it all. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.